Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
How do you like those lyrics? They're pretty good lyrics. They're entertaining lyrics, rhythmic, but they need to be more than just lyrics, right? I mean, gosh, we got to be pouring it out. God has done so much for us, and it's so easy to forget that. It's so easy to get along in our daily lives, and as we become Christians, it's like the deeper we become a Christian, sometimes it's the less we look to God, because sometimes our life just gets going, and it's just kind of like, hey, I'm a good Christian. I go to church. My life is moving along good, and we can sometimes leave God out of the equation. But God needs to be in our lungs. He needs to be in our heart. He needs to be in our brain. He needs to fulfill us. I'm going to be honest with you. After last week's message, I suspected that I'd get a little kickback from the enemy, right? Some great things happened last week, and this week wasn't that bad, but when I walked in the church this morning, it's like everything was broken, right? Just little things, little light bulbs, paper towels, drum sets, sound adjustment. I mean, all these little things, and I can recognize that, and I can start to say, oh, this is annoying. And if I'm not careful, I can get too caught up in that. And I can get agitated with all that. Anybody like that in here? And then I start getting these crazy voices in my head about who may be here and who may not be here this morning. And that begins to distract me, right? And it's like, it's Sunday morning. I'm supposed to be worshiping God. He's supposed to be filling me up. He's supposed to be in my lungs. I'm supposed to be worshiping and praising Him. And I'm thinking about all this stuff I had to do this morning and all these voices in my head. And I'm trying to worship, but it can be hard, right? Can't it be hard? And I was sitting there and God showed me. He said, you just got to figure things out. You just got to compartmentalize, right? Don't we love that word, compartmentalize? But he said, you just got to figure out what needs to be over here and what needs to be over here. Over here is me. Over here is me. And that's all good and healthy. And I want to speak to you and I want you to hear my voice. So focus over here. And all that other stuff you need to put over here. Put it over here. And that can be hard for us, isn't it? That's hard for us to take that and put it over here. But then he showed me as I put all the good stuff, put my attention toward God over here, and I put all these distractions over here. He just showed me a piece of paper, and he said, just do this. Just tear it in half. Just tear it in half. Which side do you want to focus on? Now it's in two separate sides. It's my choice which side I focus on this morning. Do I focus on this side with God, and do I elevate it? Or do I focus on the cares of this world and elevate it? So I have the choice. I have the choice this morning, just like each one of you has the choice this morning. What I'm choosing, I'm going to take this side and I'm going to lift it up. And you know what I'm going to do with this side? I'm going to let that side fall. I'm going to probably step on that side a lot. I'm just going to stand on that side because I don't need that side being a distraction to me this morning. And I bet you guys don't need that side being the distraction to you this morning. So elevate the things in your life that need to be elevated. And put under your feet those things that need to be put under your feet. Amen? Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning, Lord God, Lord, it's like every Sunday morning. Lord, why is Sunday morning the hardest morning of the week? For the world, it's Monday. But all too often for the Christian, it's Sunday. Because the enemy doesn't want us here. The enemy doesn't want us together. He doesn't want us worshiping you. So Lord God, help us to understand that. Help us to recognize that. And help us to deal with that. To put it where it needs to be put. Lord, the cares of the world. Lord God, my own flesh. My insecurities, my fears, my angers. I'm offended because of this. And I'm mad about that. Lord God, help me to ball all those up. And put them where they need to be put. And that is not only under my authority, but more importantly, under your authority. So Jesus, this morning, help us take that, take control with the leading of the Holy Spirit. Deal with the things we need to deal with. But Lord God, let them not distract us anymore. As a church, as individual believers, let those things not distract us so that we may fully focus upon you, your word, your truth, your mercy, your grace. Because Jesus, that's what it's all about. You call us to be different than this world. But all too often we act like this world within ourselves, within our own thoughts, within our own understanding. Help us to be crucified with you, to die to the things of this world so that we may be alive to you and the things of this kingdom. So this morning, Lord God, we take all our junk, we take it all and we heap it all up and we throw it in a pile and we say, Jesus, be my junk man this morning. Jesus, just be my junk man so that I can focus upon you and you alone. Distractions aside this morning, Jesus, we look to you with an expectancy, Lord God, with an expectancy that you will do something great in our lives, in this church, even in this time that we have this morning. So Jesus, we hand it all to you. We pray in your name. We plead your blood and we exalt you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. And everybody shouted out, amen. You guys can be seated. Kids, you guys can be dismissed. Remember, parents, always ask your kids what they did in church this morning. And maybe they'll just ask you. Maybe they'll ask you what you did in church this morning. If you have a kid, if you've ever had a kid, if you've had a niece or a nephew, little one, and maybe they're between 5 and 12 years old, and just think about that for a second. If they came up after church on the way home, maybe you're going out to eat, maybe you're just going home. If a little one asks you, what'd you do in church this morning, what would you say? Well, I nodded off a couple times. Well, I thought about, well, I got through it, well, I played the crossword puzzle on my phone. Or would you actually say, man, I engaged. I engaged with worship. I engaged with the word. I allowed the Holy Spirit to speak to me. I asked that I have ears to listen. Think about that for a second. It kind of defines what we think about church, and it's going to tie right into this message. This was just a bonus thing right there, but it all does tie in. Let's run through announcements real quick so we can get on with this message and see where we're going. You guys are a little quiet on me this morning. I don't want quiet this morning. I want loud this morning. I need loud this morning. So if you feel empowered, you say, hey, hallelujah, amen, preach it. That's enough. You're stepping on my toes. I don't care, as long as we get a little bit of feedback, right? Amen. Step on my toes. I got people in here that say you are free to step on my toes whenever you want. Small groups are starting September 7th. Can you believe that August is almost over? It's very hard to believe, but it almost is. That way we kind of get back into normal just a little bit. And I love summer, but from a pastor's perspective, it's nice to get back into the flow of the year. That's always nice. But Wednesday night, September 7th, different things for the adults. We're going to have different classes. They're all going to be great, past, present, future, a bonus session. Kids will be downstairs. Youth will be over there. But September 7th, that is when Wednesday nights kick off. And then we have Bridge Family Movie Night coming up, of course, and that would be 2 days later. So that's September 9th will be the Bridge Family Movie Night. And that, flip that slide real quick. That one, How to Train Your Dragon, it's going to be great. The barbecue starts at 6:30. The movie starts at 8 p.m. Pray for no rain that day. There'll be popcorn during the movie. There'll be good barbecue. The biggest thing is that we get together and we hang out and we laugh and we enjoy each other. So please please plan on being here for that. But even more, bring your neighbors, bring your friends, man. Even if they go to another church, even if they aren't Christians, everybody loves a barbecue and a movie outside. It's going to be great. So this might be the easiest time, besides maybe trunk or treat, that it is to invite people to do something with us. Amen? So be here. I expect you to be here. And then, let's see, 24-hour prayer is coming up. The sign-up is back on the table right under the TV out there, 7 to 7. 7 p.m. to 7 p.m. September 16th and 17th. I'll go over a little bit more about that next week, but just sign up for a time slot. Come for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours and just get in here and bask in the Lord and pray. And there'll be a prayer emphasis that we'll put out when you get here. If you guys have been here before, we put some whiteboards out. It's really cool. And then if God gives a word or a verse, people write it down. And then at the end, these whiteboards are just covered with awesome stuff. So please plan on signing up for that on your way out. The quicker you sign up for it, the less stress I have. And you don't want your pastor to be stressed, right? So you just sign up and be ready for that. It'll be awesome. Let's see. My notes are out of order. So, men's ministry barbecue kickoff. So this is the kickoff to the men's ministry, September 19th, 6 p.m. Guys, just come. We're going to eat. We're going to eat barbecue stuff. It's going to be awesome. Bring guy friends. Man, if you got friends and they're going through a hard time in their life, or they're just misguided. Maybe they're fathers that it's hard being a father. Maybe they're struggling in their job. What better place to bring them? Get them together with other Christian guys, and some mentorship can help them happen, and just good things. So guys, put that on your calendar. Last Sunday's coming up. Last Sunday's start, not today. Some people brought food today. I said it's better to be early than late, right? That's a guy principle. It's better to be early than late. You guys are like a month early, though. That's really early. So last Sundays will actually start next month. It'll be the last Sunday of September. And on that day, we're also going to have a movie. We won't usually have a movie, but we're going to be looking at the Most Reluctant Convert, The Untold Story of C.S. Lewis. So that's September 25th. Following the last Sunday potluck, we'll probably do it up here. It just depends on how many people. We can either do it downstairs or up here, but that's going to be awesome. Just one more thing for connection. Now, I got a couple other announcements that I just threw in this morning. As I announced several Sundays ago, somebody had an idea. They said, you know, with the way the economy and inflation is going, maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea if, as a church, we had some stuff, some food items here, just in case somebody in the body needs it. That has already been done. I had a couple guys, and they probably don't want to be singled out. One's smiling in the back because he's watching the front door, but I had a couple guys come in, and man, they like a tornado went through and finished a room, sheetrocked it, put a door in, put shelves in. They even put some food in, for goodness sakes. So we're going to call it Bridge the Gap. I love that. They even came up with a name, Bridge the Gap. It's going to be our food bank, and it's going to be intended to help our body, right? This isn't just a public food bank. There's good things. There's Food Share and there's Salvation Army. But this is something designed just for us. So if you have extra, donate it. If you need extra, let us know. And over the next week, 2 weeks, we're going to get a lot more of the administrative side of that done. So we'll have a one sheet paper that you fill out your name, how many people in your household, what your needs are, food allergies, all that. Then we'll make you up a box and we'll get it to you. Pretty awesome, huh? With that being said, if you got extra, bring it. And this is dry goods. This is like canned goods, peanut butter, powdered milk. We don't have refrigeration. So don't bring anything that needs refrigeration because it'll be a mess. We don't want that. Diapers, anything, wipes, we can house anything that can stay for a few months or 6 months or a year or whatever. So if you're at the grocery store and you think of it, just do a couple extra cans. Really, you know, we do an kind of an outreach quarterly probably. We do the backpacks, we do the baskets for the young mothers, we do raise food for Salvation Army. Probably the next one we're going to raise food for our own food bank here. But you guys can start doing that already. That's pretty awesome, right? And then lastly, our building got painted last summer, and our building looks great, doesn't it? It all matches. But there's a sore thumb on our property as well, and that's our office over there that really has never been painted, and it's probably built, what, in the 60s? Probably needs a paint job. How many of you in here were born in the 60s? I wasn't, but some of you probably, you need a paint job too. But we need to paint that, and we have enough paint from this building. We're going to paint it the same color, and the neighborhood is going to rejoice and say, amen. That looks so good, and I'm going to be like, yeah, that's right, it looks good. Tuesday, September 20th, put it on your calendars right now. Tuesday, September 20th, we're going to have a paint party. We're going to paint that sucker. We're going to get it done quick. We're going to start at 9 o'clock. Now, if for some reason it snows or rains or anything, the alternate date would be Saturday, September 24th, 9 a.m. But Tuesday, the 20th, 9 a.m., that is the day. If you can get off work to help, oh, that'd be awesome. If you're retired, well, then you're going to be here anyway. We'll probably cook burgers or dogs for lunch or whatever. Many hands make painting go by so, so quickly. I, for one, am not a fan of painting at all. I think it's like one of the worst things ever. Mostly because when I've painted in the past, it's all by myself. Yeah, this is fun. Then I look and see how much there is to go. But when you got a bunch of people out and you're doing a section and you look over and there's, oh, this is fun. And you take paint and you put it in Mel's hair and things like that. That's just fun. That's not fun, is it, Mel? So we're not going to do that, but we're going to get that building painted. So please put that on your calendar Tuesday, September 20th, 9 a.m. If you've ever thought, well, I haven't really done much in the church. I don't really help that. Come and paint. Paint. We'll give you the brush. We'll give you the roller. We'll give you whatever you need. We have all of that. All you got to do is show up. If for some reason it's like, man, I just can't paint, well, then come out anyway. Fellowship, maybe you can cook the burgers and dogs and things like that, right? It's a community thing. It's the way God intended that the church comes together and do these things. Amen? All right. Four ways to give. Always four ways to give, like always. You can give online. You can text to give to 84321. How many of you guys text to give? I think a few people do, but not a ton of people text to give. You can do the giving boxes, pretty popular. You can mail it in, 725 Granite Avenue, if you want. If you don't have the app yet, get the app. The app ties everything together, and I was just told this week that last Sunday was our first Sunday that we actually broadcast our message live over the app. How exciting is that? Not that you guys would care because you guys are in church, but it's just kind of a fun thing. I mean, we're pretty high tech here, pretty fancy here. Who knows what's next? We'll just get a robot up here, right? We'll pre-program it all. No, we're never going to do that. But get the app if you don't have the app. It gets you to everything, bulletin, calendar, messages, past messages, giving. It's everything that you need is on that app. If there's something to sign up for, a lot of that will be on the app. Thank goodness for the app. Amen. But we don't need an app when it comes to God in our life. We don't need that because we go directly to the source. So let's pray and let's get started. Father God, thank you once again that we can come together on this Sunday, Lord God. And in my own life, it's just frantic this morning. And Lord, so help me calm down and again, step on those things that I need to step on and hold up those things I need to hold up. And that is you. So Lord God, help me this morning. Holy Spirit, give me the words to say. Give me the direction to move in. Lord God, help me to do the things that I need to do, to say the things that I need to do. Holy Spirit, if it's something that you want me to say, I'll say it. If you don't want me to say it, show me so I can shut my mouth. And once again, Holy Spirit, As I was reminded this week, many churches will say, hey, I hope you don't leave the same way you came in. But as I was reminded, Lord God, that's truly our heart's desire here at Bridge, that nobody who came in this morning, nobody who walked through those doors will leave this place the same way, because I truly believe, Holy Spirit, that you are going to touch lives this morning. Not one, not two, not a handful, but Lord God, you want to touch every single life in here this morning. So challenge us, convict us, confirm in us, lead us, inspire us, because it's all about you, Jesus. We pray this in your name, and everyone shout it out. Amen. Amen. Well, if you were here last week, which I hope you were, I truly believe we, as a church, I believe we experienced something together that will determine who we are as a body, as well as where we're going, right? I truly believe that. That's my prayer. And I have to say that last week's service, it just might have been the most powerful service that I have been a part of since being here at Bridge. Why is that? Well, it's because I saw a body of believers at the altar last week, and they were choosing. They were making a choice to proclaim that they will serve the Lord. Now, individually, that's amazing. Collectively, wow. Wow. And that is a very significant value. What you did up here has a very significant value within your individual faith. It has value to publicly proclaim that you will serve the Lord. But it also has considerable worth within the body, because the body is what? The body is made up of individuals. This body that we sometimes think about in the abstract, no, it's not abstract at all. So please do not make the mistake of trying to keep those two separate. You don't have your individual faith over here, and then there's this church faith over here. And when we do that, we sometimes begin to make a bad mistake, because it takes both halves to make the whole. There's a lot of people that'll say, you know what, I love Jesus, but I don't go to church. I don't believe you need to go to church. Well, do you believe in the Bible? Well, of course I believe in the Bible. Well, the Bible says you need to go to church. No, no, no. And most people don't go to church because of a misconception or a past church hurt. But when we do that, it's like half of us is being sacrificed. It's like, I don't care how solid your individual faith is, there is a ceiling there. You got to combine that with the corporate faith that you enjoy when you're with the body. If you did miss last week, all I can say is you missed a lot. Not being mean or anything, not trying to say, don't ever miss church. But what I'm saying is try not to miss church, because you missed a lot. You can catch it online if you weren't here. Catch it online, I would suggest you do. But what happened here last Sunday cannot be replicated on a screen. It just can't, because the body came together. Now, coming out of last week's message and really acknowledging that the community that we live in is full of darkness. It's deviance, pain, and perversion, and we had to go over that to get to the place we needed to get to. And that wasn't that easy to go over, but I would rather have truth and reality than fiction and fantasy. But then we got to that place where we could proclaim our belief in a biblical standard and in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it all funneled down to that, and I think great things happen. Choosing this day who we will serve. Remember the way that's worded, choose this day. Oh, I chose last Sunday. Well, let me ask you this, did you choose Monday? Did you choose last Monday who you're going to serve? How about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Don't ask me about Friday. And we got to be choosing every day who we will serve. And remember, to serve is to put into action. It's to put effort behind it. It's not just saying it, it's actually doing it. That brings us up to now, and I believe now we are in a position of engagement, right? believe God was calling us to proclaim those things as a church. And once we did, now he can say, now I got you where I need you. Now I will put you in a position of engagement. See, this is our time to engage our faith on a deeper level, to engage this church with more intentionality, and to engage this community with greater influence. It takes a village, right? Individually, you can go out and try to reach this community, and that's awesome, that's great. There can be fruit out of that, but think of how much more fruit happens when we combine. It's the same as painting that house over there. If one person paints that house over there, it's going to get tiring. It's going to take a long time. They're going to grow weary. They're going to be frustrated because they're the only one painting it, but when everybody gets together and does it, a lot of great things happen. It's the same thing with evangelism into this community. If God is telling you to go down by yourself and preach the gospel, do it. But do it with the understanding that you have an entire church behind you. Amen? See, it takes wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to do this. It also takes humility to do this, to say, you know what? I'm a part of something greater than me. Isn't that fun? Christians should never say that. But as Christians, we can sometimes start to think that. See, we have a promise here. We have a promise. Psalm 32, 8 and 9. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Thank you, Lord. I will counsel you who are willing to learn with my eyes upon you. See, who are willing to learn? That's a big thing right there. Underline that one. Who are willing to? We have to be willing to learn. We have to be willing to hear his counsel. So do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bridle and rein to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near you. Don't be like a mule. Don't be like a stubborn horse. Ask for God's counsel. Step into that. Because when we do, God will instruct us and he will teach us the way we should go. That's individually as well as a body. Today we start a new series entitled, It's Time to Axe. It's time to take a look back. It's time to take a look way back so that we may better move forward. Anybody in here ready to move forward? Anybody in here just feel like, boy, especially since the shutdown and everything, we've been held in place, we've been put in check. I am so ready to move forward. But we have to move forward in the appropriate way. We can't just jump out and start moving forward on our own understanding within our own wisdom, can we? We have to rely upon the Lord. And what greater place to find our example than the early church we read about in the book of Acts? So where we're going to go over the next few Sundays, we're going to be looking at some foundational church principles that were established in the early church. But unfortunately, they may have been allowed to go out of style, right? See, the book of Acts should never go out of style. Sometimes we allow those old things. Oh, that was so long ago. We forget about those things. We let them go out of style because we're modern after all. We're culturally appropriate. We're sophisticated in our churches of today. Now, I will not say that everything that the modern churches are doing is wrong, because the modern church is doing some great things. But what we will look at and be challenged with is simply this. Is what we're currently doing built upon and founded in the principles of the early church? That's a great question. It's a great question we should ask about everything, isn't it? Are these things founded in the principles of the early church? See, the principles of the early church were directed and guided by the Holy Spirit. Well, of course they were. And so are we, aren't we? Well, sometimes we're so modern and sophisticated and everything, sometimes we forget and we leave the Holy Spirit's guidance out of it. But before we get started in this series, I want to do a couple things to really set the stage for the upcoming weeks. And you guys should be going, oh, yeah, let's set the stage. This is going to be good. Come on, Pastor, what are you going to say to us right now? We are so behind you right now. Just wait a second. Because my next question is would it be okay if I set some expectations? I mean, you guys love expectations. Not everybody loves expectations. Expectations for us as believers, making up this body. So I want to set some expectations for you individually, but I want to set expectations for you as part of this body. What do you guys think about that? It doesn't matter because I'm going to do it anyway. Because I think it's important. But remember from last week, the serpent is crafty. The serpent is crafty. And I think we can all agree that the church is God's idea, right? The church is God's idea. Even more than that, the church is referred to as the bride or the body of Christ. So the church is not just a good idea, it's the infrastructure in which Christ moves. Right? Well, if I say it that way, that seems huge. It's the infrastructure in which Christ moves. It means I have a big responsibility in this. It means the church is pretty darn important in this world, isn't it? Yeah, we need some expectations. We need to know the level of responsibility that we have because the church should be operating with some expectations. But the serpent is crafty. And I would bet right now there are some people in here at this second, and let's just say they're exerting their independence and they're getting ready to dig in their heels. Because who is he to set expectations for us? I come here on my own free will. I don't have to come to this church. If this church starts requiring things or expecting things that are a little too heavy, well, then I'll just go somewhere else. And you have that right. But I'll tell you this, independence is contrary to the church. So if you want to exert your independence, maybe you should just back away from the truth in the Scripture. See, independence says, I'll go to church, but I will not belong to church. So let me lay out some expectations that I have for you, all of you guys, during this series. Expectation number one is to grow in your faith. I haven't expectation that through this series you will actually grow in your faith. Now, I can have that expectation and any of these expectations, and I can say, man, that's the expectation I have for you, but you have to have enough desire and self-respect to say, hey, I'm going to adopt that expectation into my life as well. Shouldn't we always have an expectation to grow in our faith? We should never get to the point and say, man, I'm there. I've arrived. My faith is good. I don't need to grow anymore. That expectation, I can check that off. Pat myself on the back. I've done so good. Should never do that. So that's why expectation number one has to be to grow in our faith. Now, as we look at the early church, what they faced and what they accomplished, how can't we grow in our faith? The book of Acts should get us so excited, man. The book of Acts and the book of Revelation, those are the two books where we should be like, oh yeah, look at how the church was born and look at what happens with the church and after. Oh yeah, Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit came, and Jesus is coming back. Everything in between is where we live. So the book of Acts, how can it not grow our faith? Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. See, Paul is talking about the church and how the church actually grows your faith. You don't have to stand out there and say, I got to grow my faith on my own. I'm a lone ranger out here. I'm resilient. I can pull myself up with my biblical bootstraps. You don't have to do that. That's not even God's principle. God's principle is that you become a part of the church, a part of a body of Christ. And in so doing, your faith begins to grow. It continues to grow. It never stops growing as long as you're plugged in to the body of Christ. Now, if you come to me and it's like, man, you text me or I text you, maybe I text you or you stop by the office or you're just like, catch me after service, always after, never before, because you know I don't listen to you guys before service, sorry. It's after most of the time I do listen. But if you come to me and you're like, Pastor, I'm struggling in my faith right now. I'm struggling in my faith now and I don't know what to do. You know what I'm probably going to ask you? I'm going to probably ask you about your church attendance. Struggling in your faith? Well, that's odd because I don't typically see you in church every Sunday morning on a regular basis. Yeah, but Pastor, it's just hard to go to church when I'm struggling in my faith. Well, have you ever thought you're struggling in your faith because you don't make a commitment to come to church? And I'm not talking about, are you just showing up to church on a Sunday morning? I'm going to wonder, are you coming to church ready to receive? Are you coming to church ready to worship? Are you coming to church ready to participate in the service? Well, how do I participate in service? You're the one up there talking. I just sit there, right? Yeah, that's one way to look at it. But evaluate your time of worship. Are you sitting in your seat during worship with your mouth closed? That's not participation in worship. Are you standing up, trying to clap? Like I try to clap. Man, I try, and then Amy tells me you're off. You are so off that you're not even off beat. You don't even know where the beat is. I'm like, I know. I've never lied. I know I don't have rhythm, but I'm still participating, and I'm going to sing. And it's so funny because if I leave this mic on right here during worship, you guys can't hear it, but everybody up here with their little ear things can, and they're like, Pastor, man, we could hear you today, and it wasn't good. And I'm like, but I'm participating. I'm participating. They're like, participate all you want. Could you just hit the button, though? Because you're messing us up. And then you're trying to clap. Participation, though. I'm going to try to participate as best and to the ability that I can during worship. Not all of you are great singers. Probably not all of you have great rhythm. That doesn't mean you can't participate during worship. You want to build your faith? Participate in worship. The first songs, the closing songs. Participate. Try it out and see what happens. During this time, I'm speaking. Are you participating with me? Are you participating? Are you looking? Are you engaging? Are you listening? Are you giving feedback? Are you taking notes? That's participation. That's not just filling a seat. So it's important to participate in church. So you come to me and say, Pastor, man, my faith, man, I'm just struggling in my faith. I don't know. I just have lost the fire. Are you coming to church? Are you actively engaged in church? Are you actively engaged with other people within the body? Do you come in late and leave early so you don't have to talk to anybody? I'm not really participating in the body, right? Sorry, I'm calling you guys out. That's just the way it is. Love expectations. We love expectations. That's my expectation, is that you grow in your faith. In order to grow in your faith, you need to come Sunday mornings. You need to participate Sunday mornings. You need to be involved with the body, not just on Sunday mornings. Don't just fill a seat. Don't just fill a seat. I'm glad. Man, if somebody comes in and they're having a hard day and they're just going to fill a seat, it's still better than not being here. That's only a glimpse of what God actually has for you. So place upon yourself an expectation that you will grow deeper in your faith during this series. And I'm saying just during this series, because I know if you will commit just to this series, you will experience something. You will see something. You will see your life change, your faith change. I'm telling you, if you will just commit during this series, I know that after this series, you're going to taste of the fruit and know that it is good, and it's the God fruit, and it's the good stuff, right? And you're going to want to come back after this series. And then follow up this action, this commitment, this expectation, and live in community. Come to the movies. Stay for the potlucks. Help us paint a building. Do whatever. Become part of the church and your faith will grow. All right, expectation number two. We love expectations. Expectation number two, to begin to look at church with a greater producer mindset and less of a consumer viewpoint. What? What is going on here? You mean there's different ways to look at church? There is different ways. See, there's this producer mindset and there's this consumer viewpoint, and we all have both of those. Here's the deal. I'm not saying we don't all have both. We have one and we have one, and there's this sliding scale, this little dot, and it slides back and forth throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year. Am I more a producer? Am I more a consumer? And we kind of gotta keep that in check. It's like a barometer, right? We got to keep an eye on it. You look at the barometer, you know if a storm's coming or not, right? At least in Kansas, that's what you do. This is the same barometer. Producer, consumer, consumer, producer. That sliding scale is going to float. It's going to float. We got to keep in mind. And when we keep that in mind, we can adjust our own attitude, right, to where it probably needs to be. So we're all somewhere on the scale, and it can really depend upon what your idea of church actually is. I'll ask you that too. Hey, what's your idea of church? In your own opinion, in your great wisdom, in your knowledge, what is church to you? See, there are also times when you just absolutely need the church. You guys are going to go through stuff, and you guys are going to absolutely need the church. If you're not a part of the church, you're going to need the church. You're going to need something that you're not a part of, and thank God we have a church that will wrap its arms around you regardless. But it's a whole lot better if you're a part of that church. So there's sometimes we go through our lives. It could be for emotional needs, right? You lost a loved one. I have these emotional needs. I need my church family. It could be physical needs, right? Hey, my car's dead. Who am I going to call? I know. I'll call somebody in my church family. They'll drop what they're doing and they'll help me. I don't know. It could be all different kinds of physical needs. It could even be financial needs, right? You could come to a point and, man, I got a financial need. I need a little benevolence from the church in my life. It's a good thing I'm a part of the church family. I'm actually more of a consumer right now, but in a good way, in a humble way, than a producer. But when those needs are addressed, it's important to shift back into being a producer. Right? So though we can fall over to one side, we can say, okay, I've addressed those needs. I got to do what it takes to get back to being a producer. See, having a producer mentality is constantly asking, how can I serve the church? Instead of how can the church serve me? See, this is a tricky statement here because we like to say church. Number one, we like to say church is the building, right? But then we also like to say, well, church is this entity that's over here. It's way over here. And it's like, what do you mean? How can I serve the church? Is it this organization that I always have to volunteer for and give to and things like that? But don't forget what the church is. The church is the body. Church is the bride of Christ, right? The church is made up of individual believers. So when we say, how can I serve the church? What we're really saying is how can I serve each other? How can I serve my brothers and sisters in Christ? See, then we take the abstractness out of the church and we make it very personal. Instead of how can the church serve me? How can my brothers and sisters serve me? We could start plugging in names here. Hey, how can Charlie and Georgie serve me? Right? I want to know that. How can John and Carol serve me? Because in essence, when we ask that, how can the church serve me? That's really what we're saying. We have all these people, and I'm a little bit different from them, and they need to be serving me. Oh, yes, king and queen, prince and princess. There's a lack of humility there. And sometimes we truly need help, but we shouldn't expect to walk into a church and be elevated and everybody serve us. Rather, we should say, man, how can I serve this church? I want to be a part of this body. What can I do? See, the early church, the believers in the book of Acts, as we will see, it was made up of joyful producers. Boy, they were joyful. They were on fire, man. They were like, man, I'll sell my land and give the money to the church. I'll help people get fed. I'm going to go address this person and that person. Man, they were consumed with being joyful producers. Galatians 6:10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. What? That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Do good to everyone. We're not saying, hey, we're only supposed to love the people inside this building today on this date because they were here. And if they miss church today, well, then we don't really have to love them because they're... No, we love everyone. We say, boy, we love the world, right? We love the world so much that we'll speak truth to them. We will stand on a biblical standard. We love that, right? But there's a familiarity right here, right? We're family here. You're going to treat your sons and daughters, your parents, a lot differently than the stranger down the street. There's just a different level of love, right? Because we know each other. So that's what we need to be doing. We need to be loving on each other here as well as in the community, but we should never forsake loving each other here for loving the community. Can that happen? Well, God only has so much love to go around, doesn't he? No, God has enough love to do all of those things. Think about that. Expectation number three. Here's my third expectation for you guys. Oh, goodness. To gain a deeper realization of the importance of the body. To gain a deeper realization of the importance of the body. The question can never be, is church important? Because biblically speaking, we know that church is important. So the question must be, is church important to me? Is church important to me? Is church important to each one of you? Well, I don't know, not really, I guess. I mean, I have to come because my wife told me I had to come, so I'm here. So I guess, I don't know if it's important or not. You got to ask that question, how important is church to you? See, allowing the Holy Spirit to assist you in this answer can only help you realize the importance of the body and the importance of you in the body. So if you truthfully ask this question, is church important to me? Not the general question, is church important? We've already established that it is. But you have to ask, is church important to you? If you ask that, if you pray that, if you ask that question to God, the Holy Spirit is going to assist you in that answer. Be careful asking this question because it's a question the Holy Spirit will answer quickly. Quickly. And we don't always love the answer to the question because a lot of times it means changing. Means I have to humble myself. So that's a good expectation. We get into a couple good expectations. Now let's look at expectation number four. To make a greater commitment to the body. This is a big one. Ooh, I love this one. And this is one that will most likely be met with the most resistance and the most excuses. I didn't get a hallelujah or an amen on that one. We're waiting. To make a greater commitment to the body. Well, wait a second, I'm really busy. To make a greater commitment to the body. Well, wait a second, I'm not technically a member. To make a greater commitment to the body. Well, I need to know exactly what that might involve, right? I need to ask some questions, just like the rich young ruler was asking all those questions and all of those things. To make a greater commitment to the body. Oh, is this a cult? Are you asking me to what? I'm asking you to make a greater commitment to the body. To throw that resistance, that independence, that pride, that offense, and those excuses out the window. See, this is a big expectation that I'm putting on you guys. Why? Is it just because we need people here on a Sunday morning? Well, honestly, we do need people here on a Sunday morning. But the greater reason is, when you make a greater commitment to the body, you gain a deeper realization of the importance of the body. You naturally begin to look at church with a greater producer mindset and less of a consumer viewpoint. And you begin to grow in your faith deeper. See, by taking a step of action here, the first three expectations begin to take care of themselves. Does that make sense? But what do you have to do? Oh, I guess I have to maybe make a greater commitment to this body. How might that even look? How might that even look? It's going to look different for each one of us. You know why it's going to look different for each one of us? Because we're all in different places. To make a greater commitment to the body, maybe that just means showing up, right? Maybe you've been showing up. Maybe that means stepping in and doing something else, all right? It's like, man, maybe I could help here or there, or maybe I could just come and participate more in worship or during the word. Maybe I could start coming on a Wednesday night. There's all sorts of things. And maybe, you know, there's people in here and they do so much. They do so much. And maybe to make a greater commitment to the body for them is simply continuing doing what they're doing, but even adding a little bit more prayer in there, right? See, we can all make a deeper commitment, a greater commitment to this body. Don't you love expectations? Should we be done? No, we got one more. We got one more expectation, number five. To step out and begin to serve the body. What? Wait a second. Did I just cross the line on that one? I think I might have. See, here's the deal. We do have things that need to get done around here. And that's so weird because each one of you have a purpose in the kingdom. Everything from our greeters to our ushers, to guest services, right? Don't you like being greeted at the door? There's people that say, hey, I'm going to be part of the body and I'm going to commit to this. I'm going to be a greeter or an usher or guest services so I can hand out jam and sweet treats to children and new people. And it's just, it's great. We have needs in the sound booth, especially this morning. We have needs. We have needs to run sound, to run Facebook, to run the computer, video, all of those things. We have needs in worship, right? We need more guitar players. We need a bass player. We need all of those things. We have needs with kids. We have needs with youth. We have needs with small groups. We have a need to allow you to express your tools, your talents. And you can give those. Your finances. We have to be an open door and say, man, if God has blessed you with generous giving, then we need to allow you to do that, right? We can't stop you. If you have a gift with computers, we need to allow you to do that. If you're a gifted musician, we need to allow you to do that. If you are a gifted smiley person, we need you at the front door, right? We have all these areas that we need your help in. So don't come in here and fill a seat. I have a greater expectation and really a greater respect for you than to say, hey, let's just fill seats. Let's count numbers. Let's brag on our numbers. But are we growing? Are we doing what the kingdom needs us to do? Are we doing what God is calling us to do? What God has blessed you in, are you using it for His glory? You guys, man, there's so many of you that are so blessed in so many things, but are you actually using that for God's glory? But practicality dictates we also just need, we just need stuff to get done. There's things here, and maybe that's not your gifting, but boy, you could step in and help with that. We could train you on that. Please don't dig your heels in. Say, man, I don't just want to go to church. I want to be a part of that church. And maybe that's one Sunday out of a month. Maybe that's one Sunday out of 2 months. Is that too much to sacrifice? I'm not asking you, hey, would you go sit way over here away from the body on a Sunday morning just because we need that filled? No. I'm saying be a part of the body. You're still going to be here. You're still going to be here for worship. You're still going to be here for the word. You just might have a responsibility during that time. I don't think that's that big of expectation, and I think it's a godly, biblical expectation. Because everything you do within and through the body should be looked at as ministry. It is. It's all ministry. Bruce and Debbie downstairs right now, they're teaching our kids. You know what? That's ministry. Amy's back there on the computer flipping my slides. Did you know that's ministry? Ron's out there, and you know what Ron's doing? Ron's watching the doors. He's watching the doors for any potential danger, but he's also watching the doors that if somebody walks up and they want to come into this church, for safety's sake, we lock the doors during service so nobody sneaks in our back doors, which is our front door, right? But he's going to stand there and he's going to watch. And if somebody walks up and he's like, oh man, they just want to come to church, he's going to open the door for them. He's going to shake their hand and he's going to welcome them. Did you know that that's ministry? That's ministry. Did you know the floor getting vacuumed? Did you know that's ministry? Did you know the lawn getting mowed during the week? Did you know that's ministry? See, we're like, boy, that's work. That just seems like a lot of work. Well, you can look at that because maybe your consumer dial's a little too far over there. Maybe you need to readjust that dial because it's fun. Man, when we start doing ministry things, it's fun. Can we complain sometimes? Yeah, sometimes. When the snow's 3 feet deep, it's Sunday morning, and I'm going, oh my gosh, we're going to have church, but there's a lot of snow. Sometimes I get a little, then I got to readjust, right? Can painting a house with a bunch of brothers or sisters in Christ be ministry? Depends on how you look at it, right? How you look at it. We need to change our mindset here. Look at Romans 12, 4 through 8. For as in one body we have many members, thank God for that, and the members do not all have the same functions, thank God for that, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our service. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. What an amazing passage right here, right? We're different! We're all different. We all have different gifts, but we all have the ability to either those gifts or excitingly use those gifts, right? Hey, God, what do you want me to do? Oh, I didn't know that was my gift. Oh, you're bestowing all that gift upon me for the next 2 weeks. Well, thank you, God. I will do the best that I can. Yay for God. Yay for my gifts. Yay for the body where I can express those gifts. It is a great passage. That's also, this passage is very much Paul putting an expectation upon the body, right? He's not saying, oh, nobody, you know, there's 20%. 20% of the church body has gifts and talents and tools. The other 80%, their gift is just to fill a seat. It's not saying that here at all. It's like, man, we all got different gifts. Some of your guys' gifts are crazy. They're amazing, unique. They're things that I could never possess. They're things that the person you're sitting next to could never possess. But for some reason, God has granted them to you. Now, why don't you use those for the kingdom and in order to build up the body? So those are the five expectations I am asking you to pursue during this series. Please don't take those lightly. Please take a picture of that slide. Think about them. Pray about them. Begin to pursue those things and see how your life, your faith, begins to change individually. But I can guarantee you, when your faith individually begins to build, you know what that does as the body starts to get excited. Man, it gets excited. It's like, man, I just started working out. Look how huge my arms are. And the rest of the body's like, oh man, your arms are huge. And then the rest of the body says, man, I want to catch up. And it just starts feeding each other, and all sorts of great things start to happen. Expectations are important. I've never started a series where I put expectations upon the body, but I think it's a pretty good idea. That brings us to the next question we need to ask, and it's an important one. Next question is this: why should the church in Acts be our example? Why should it? Well, the standard answer, and a really great answer, is because it is the example we have in the Bible. The biblical example of a healthy church is the church, the early church, the church that was born out of Acts. Was it perfect? Absolutely not. The rest, you know, you leave the book of Acts and you pretty much go all the way to the book of Revelation. There's a whole bunch in there of trying to fix the church. Right? So we got like this pretty good example. It's the early church. And then once that's established, as other churches start up, other problems begin to creep in, don't they? So the Church of Acts, it really should be our example. And that's a solid reason. That's a great reason. But I believe more so than at any time since I've been alive, since I've been around, we, you and I, the church here and now, may have the most commonalities with the early church than we ever have. Yet, unfortunately, we don't always see it that way. Now, let's think about that just for a minute. The Acts church was very much living contrary to the culture that it was in, right? It was totally, man, it was like, wow, here's society, here's the world, here's the culture, and here's the early church. And boy, it was oil and water, man. It did not mix. It was totally different. The early church was a radical movement. Oh, you belong to that. You're one of those people. Oh, it was radical. It was also a persecuted church, wasn't it? People are after the church. People are after the church goers. Man, you're labeled a Christian back then. Man, they were coming after you in all sorts of ways. I would have to argue we're seeing that today. The early church, it was a labeled church, wasn't it? Oh, man, it was labeled. Woo! Oh, man, you're one of them crazies. Right, you're one of those people who believe all of that stuff. Man, we're going to label you. We're going to label you so much you probably won't be able to get a job over here or even travel over here. It's happening. It happened then. It's happening now. The powers that be during the early church time, being the government and other religions, you know what they tried to do? They tried to shut the church down. They tried to shut the church down. We're seeing the government and other religions right now trying to shut the church down. Here's another great one. The early church, they were belittled, right? They were belittled. Nobody wants to be belittled. But the early church stood against evil. It stood against evil. It was the entity that was standing against evil. So like it or not, today's biblical church shares a lot in common with the early church. Now think about what was going on then, right? Just in kind of a social aspect. Not just within the church, but a social aspect. Think about what was going on then and compare it to right now. This one dawned on me. I'm driving down the road. I'm listening to a message on the radio and boom, boom, boom. It's like, oh, in the early church, they had this thing called leprosy. And leprosy was a public health issue. And did you know that leprosy was the main cause of division and fear Did you know that? Back in Jesus' time, back in the early church time? Do we have anything like that? Do we have anything that's causing division and fear? Now, I'm not absolutely comparing the two, right? I'm just saying that they're both things that cause a lot of division and fear. Sexual sin was rampant, really, in the entire region of the early church, where it started and where it spread. There was a ton of sexual sin. Perversions were glorified and embraced. Remember, they're under Roman rule. And really, in Rome, everything went. I mean, everything went. There was mass political corruption in those days, and those in power sought their own agenda and their own gain. Do we see that at all today? Do the politicians actually serve the public good, or do they serve their own agenda and their own gain? The religions of the day conformed to the cultural norms, right? It was Roman religions. It was all sorts of old Greek religions. There was even the Jewish religion in many ways. It was all just trying to conform and hang on and say, hey, culture is taking us this way. Let's do this. As we see the church expand, especially to the parts of Rome, we see all sorts of crazy stuff happening in the name of religion. How about this one? Violence. Violence back during the early church times, violence was actually a very popular form of entertainment. Can you imagine? Can you imagine violence being used as a way to entertain people? Status was the evaluating factor of success back then. It was all about status. Hey, what job do you have? What clothes do you have? Where do you live? Things like that. A little bit of that happening today, isn't it? See, the environment of the early church, what they were facing is very similar to our current environment. Though there are many similarities, it's the differences between the early church and our current church that determine our effectiveness, right? We can say, oh, that was the early church, but look at where we are now. No, we have to look at that. What are the similarities? How did they deal with those things? How did they base themselves, and what were they doing? We need to look at that in order for us to become more effective in our own ministry. So here are the questions that we need to be asking. Two questions. What was the attitude of the early church? And what is the attitude of the modern church? See, we're doing all this so that we can then start and look at how the church in the book of Acts did things. But if we just look at it from a historical point, oh, that's how they did things, and not say, that's how they did things, so maybe we should be doing the same thing, then we lose all action. All it is history. It's not the living word of God that's speaking to us right now. So we ask the questions, what was the attitude of the early church and what is the attitude of the modern church? In regards to what? Well, in regards to things like intention. What was the early church intentional about? What are we intentional about? Passion. What was their passion? But where is our passion? Now, this is a question for the church. But remember, the church is made up of us individually. So it has to also be a question to us individually. How about urgency? Urgency. What was the early church urgent about? What was urgent to them? What kind of things had to get done right now? And what is urgent to us? How about a servant mentality? Those people in the early church, who did they put first? Or who do we put first? Dependency. How dependent was the early church upon each other? Right? Man, I'm telling you, we're going to find out. They were incredibly dependent upon each other. How dependent upon each other are we? You know, I see them Sunday mornings. That's about it. When I need something, who do I call? Oh, I never think to call my brothers or sisters in Christ. How about unity? Unity's a great one. For the early church, what was their idea of unity? What is our idea of unity? Sunday morning for an hour and a half. I don't know if that cuts it. How about truth? In the early church, was truth looked at as objective or subjective? For us today, for the church today, the modern church, is truth looked at as objective or subjective? Depends on which church you go to, I guess. See, these are hard questions, but these are important questions. And these are the kinds of questions that determine our health as well as our effectiveness as a body. But the body is made up of individuals. So as an individual, you need to ask yourself those questions pertaining to yourself and your role in the body. These are the kinds of questions that we must keep in mind going forward. We got to keep these questions right in front of us as we go through this series, as we decide, hey, let's do this as a church, let's do that as a church. We need to keep these kind of questions in the forefront of our mind. See, for the early church, the body was vital. Therefore, meeting together was essential. And I fear now maybe church has become more entertaining than essential. See, they had purpose, and that purpose was subservient to Christ and His agenda. Sometimes our purpose has to make room for Christ and His agenda. Talking about the church here. Oh, I guess we could include Jesus in on this. Church was a major part of who they were. Church is sometimes something we simply do, right? Why go on Christmas and on Easter? Why do you do that? Well, it makes me feel good about myself. I go to church as many Sundays as I can. Well, why do you do that? Well, because it makes me feel good about myself. See, the early church, they expected the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we look for everything except the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. See, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that established and grew the early church. So why have we come to a place where we expect if we send the pastor to a conference to this successful church, he can come back and replicate that and everything will be good? No, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who builds the church. It's the Holy Spirit who will build this church, who will maintain this church. See, Jesus said He would return, right? Jesus gave those instructions before He like they believed that. They truly lived like they believed that He would return. How many of us are living like Jesus could return before the end of this service is over? There's a big difference here, right? And that's why we're starting this new series. That's why expectations have been established. That's why we need to open up our hearts and our Bibles and allow the conviction and challenge that only the Holy Spirit will bring. I know this isn't a super exciting message. I know this is the kind of message that can be, man, it's a little hard to listen to this message because there's expectations and you're comparing. And now you're saying we're supposed to be like the early church. This community, this world needs a church that looks like the early church, like no time ever before. And that's why I need you to make it a point to be in church every single Sunday for this series. And while you're at it, Why don't you bring others? Why don't you call people up who aren't here today? Why don't you call people up that are a sitter? Or call people up that are, I kind of go to church once a month, once every 2 months. Why don't you call them up and say, hey, I got a seat for you. Come sit by me and make them uncomfortable when you worship, man. Clap extra loud. Sing extra loud. Because that uncomfort is really conviction. And never be ashamed when somebody gets convicted over your excitement or your faith. I'm going to be honest with you, be totally honest with you. It would be so much easier not to do this series. It would be easier for me, and it would be easier for you. It would be much easier to drive down the easy, feel-good message highway in a convertible with the wind blowing through our hair and not a care in the world. Right? You guys could come in. We could sing some songs. I could get up here and just talk about how good you're doing and how man, just keep it up. You're great. You're perfect. Everything is great. And then what you guys could do is you guys could check off the Sunday box. Oh, I did my Sunday thing. And then you could just leave this place the same way that you came in, and you could just get along with your week, not having to think about anything until next Sunday when we sing some more fun songs and we have another feel-good message. We could do that. And I'm telling you, a lot of churches are doing that. But that's not why we are here. And frankly, I do have too much respect for you and for my Lord not to challenge you. Worship team, will you guys come up here? This is where we're headed. This is where we're coming out of last week, right? We had a lot happen last week. We had excitement. We had people getting free. We had people, man, everybody was at the altar going, yes, I'm going to proclaim it. I'm going to say, today I choose this day to serve the Lord. I'm going to put my words into action. I'm going to actually allow my words to be moved into service. But you see, what's happening right now is I'm preaching a message that's saying, hey, it's time. It's time that we move from words into action. So as we sing today, I don't know which song we're singing. That's totally up to Dave, because you know what? That's Dave's talent that he is using. And it's a great talent. But Dave listens to the Holy Spirit, and Dave says, man, I know what song we need to end with. And I trust that. Man, that takes that off my plate. But as we sing this last song, I'm going to ask you guys to ask yourself some of these questions. I'm going to ask yourself to look at those expectations. I'm going to ask yourselves to be honest, to be truthful, and to be humble. Are you just a sitter? Are you just dragging in here because it's repetition? Well, it's Sunday. It's what I should do. And if I don't, then God might be mad at me. And if God's not mad at me, then maybe it's my spouse or my kids or somebody's going to be mad at me because I didn't go to church. Pastor's going to be calling my house saying, where were you? You were gone. It ruined. No, I don't call people like that. I just don't. That's not how I'm wired. I treat you like you're adults, like you're big boys and girls. Sorry, big boys and girls. We're a church that believes in men and women. That's the two sexes. Just is. But I have that respect for you to come on in. I'm not going to follow you around like a little puppy dog, right? And I don't believe Jesus does that either. I don't believe Jesus is the little puppy dog that runs after everybody. Just pet me. Just be with me. That's not Jesus. Jesus is the roaring lion. Jesus says, man, make your choice. Jesus is the one that let the rich young ruler or the rich young fool walk away. So I'm expecting, there's an expectation in all of you guys that I'm placing upon you. I'm treating you like big boys and girls in your faith. And maybe your faith is new. Maybe you're a brand new Christian. I'm still going to have enough respect for you to say, man, you get with God. I'm not going to twist your arm. I'm not going to bribe you to be in church. That's just not it. That's not how things, not how we do things here. But I'm going to absolutely invite you to not only grow in your faith, but to grow in this body, to not only to grow in this body, but to actually use those things that God has given you in service of the kingdom. I'm giving it all to you right now. It's up to you how you respond. If you need to get before God and ask Him questions at this altar, if you need to get before God and affirm things at this altar, then do it. If you need to turn to the person beside you and say, you know what? Today is the day I'm making a choice to go deeper in my faith and to plug into this body. However that looks, I'm a little scared right now what God's going to ask me to do, but my confidence is greater than my fear. I don't know where you're at, but if we as a church want to continue to go forward, it takes a body. It takes a body. So let's get together and let's get excited about what God wants to do here in this church. And by doing something here in this church, He'll be doing something here in this community. Let's begin to be more vocal about our faith. Let's begin to be more connective with those outside of the body, right? And some of those that are outside of the body were in this body pre-COVID, right? They just haven't returned yet. Maybe it's time to have coffee with them. Again, you don't have to bribe them or twist their arm. Make that connection. Tell them the exciting things that God is doing in your life and see how contagious that is. So I'm going to pray. These altars are always open. These altars are open to bask in the Holy Spirit. Man, don't just feel like, man, so-and-so is going to the altar. They're messed up. They got a problem. No, it's you that has the problem if you take that attitude. These altars are open just to come and camp out, to talk to God, to worship God. It's that physical step. Man, maybe your spirit and your soul are aligned with God. Sometimes God says, I need your physical obedience as well. And sometimes that's getting on your knees. Sometimes that's lifting up your hands. Sometimes that's walking to the altar. Everybody stand up. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, God, you give us a whole lot to think about. And that's why we love you so much, is because you don't treat us like we're simple. You treat us like we were made in your image, and you have enough respect for us that you challenge us, you convict us, you bring things to the surface so that together we may deal with those things. So right now, Holy Spirit, as you are touching people all over this sanctuary, Lord God, I pray that they meet you with a boldness. They meet you with a humility, and they meet you with an openness. Lord, the altars, Lord, whatever reason that you placed this altar space here, Lord God, we're going to respect that. If we need to be at the altar, Lord God, give us the courage to get to the altar. If we need to get on our knees, Lord God, give us the courage to get on our knees. If we need to raise our hands and sing as loud as we can, Lord God, give us the courage. And I wouldn't mind a little bit of ability, but it's better to have the courage to do so. So Jesus, by your name, we ask these things because it's your name that is above all. We pray this in your name. And everybody said, amen.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com, and we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.